Oh, and just a reminder, January 20th, proceedings deadline.
Okay.
Go for it.
I assume no laser pointer, okay.
No, they want you to use
the cursor.
Use the cursor so it's on the recording.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. Thanks for coming. Most of the topics that happened earlier are more relevant to what I have to say than what's occurring in the afternoon, but I'm grateful for your attendance. What I'd like to talk about is our work to implement high-throughput phenotyping with scanning LIDAR. In the background of this picture is an airborne image of one of the large-scale cotton fields that we've conducted in the past, and there's standardized reflectance tarps. Were an excellent site for UAS testing ground. I encourage you to consider our site if you want to do any heat and drought stress studies. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Michael Gore at Cornell University, and Allison Thompson, who's recently arrived at ARS and has taken over Mike Gore's job. And as well, I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for major support since 2012 for this research. So what would we like to do with LIDAR? Well, we think this is potentially one of the best ways of mapping cotton canopy, considering all the options we've discussed. It could give you the best measurement of height, width, leaf area, variability of with height of biomass, potentially leaf angle distribution, which would be a measure of water stress in particular, but maybe other stresses as well. Cotton ball counting, which I've focused on and we'll discuss a little bit more detail later on, is something you can do. Estimate expected yield. Now, how valuable is that? Well, maybe it's not so valuable if you're going to harvest the crop anyway. But if you're trying to select varieties out of several hundred and you only want to harvest the top performers, this might be the technique for you. And detect plant stress is an important aspect here. I think we can look at crops that are shorter or taller, wider, and leaf curling, those attributes. On the right-hand side shows you our high-throughput phenotyping platform, which we've invested a tremendous amount of labor and resources to install. We now use a LabVIEW-based platform that has a GPS RTK system. It uses acoustic. It uses crop circle active scanning. It uses LIDAR and thermal infrared radiometers at multiple angles, and now we're doing imaging over four rows, and we've been doing cotton since 2010. Well, what I'd like to focus on is the acquisition and processing of LIDAR, because this is the one reason I've been still working on it since 2012 and why I'm still having difficulty getting a great deal of validation data. It's technologically very feasible and technologically very challenging to pull together. I'll describe a little bit of the acquisition procedure, the data visualization, first level analysis, and some of the routines that we have to use that seem elementary on first look but are quite complicated in practice. So how does LIDAR 2D scanning work? So we could have just a simple, very inexpensive $100 LIDAR instrument to get plant height. And if that's what you want, maybe you should invest in something like a LIDAR light system. It's very easy to install, very inexpensive, and analogous to the ultrasonic sensors. What we're trying to do is map sort of the 2.5 dimensions of the cotton canopy, and that's illustrated in the drawing on the center part of the slide. And you can see that the red dot would be where your source of your laser beam is. All the data that looks like noise at the horizontal on from that red position on up is noise from the tractor, because this is mounted on the underbelly of the tractor system. And it's scanning sort of like a circular saw and like a big spiral. So you're driving through the field four rows at a time, and you image what you see there is a cross section of a cotton plant. So you can resolve leaves and stems and certainly the furrows, since we're using in this particular instance a bend furrow design. It's a drip system, however. So that's how would you get canopy shape. On the left side shows the a unit that we've borrowed and proposed to buy made by SIC Corporation. Incidentally, we don't, as USDA, endorse any particular product. I'm mentioning them because these are what we have used and have some experience with. This particular product is environmentally robust. It's been protected from sun and rain, so you can see the enclosure there. And we've mounted an Arduino robotic system on a set of rails. And the whole idea here is to stabilize the system so that we don't have any shake and roll. On the right-hand side shows a Regal system. Now, the difference between the two systems is about $110,000. And so this is one of the chief obstacles that I'd point out to you if you want to use LiDAR. There are some inexpensive LiDARs, and then there are some very expensive, and there's not much in between. We are cost constrained, so we don't own one of these units on the right-hand side. When you invest in these more expensive units, you also get some very elaborate software, which somebody has spent a great deal of time developing. Consequently, when you have to go to the lower end, you have to develop the software yourself. On the flip side of that is that the software that you write is designed for plants, and the software that's designed for such units as this one are not designed for plants, they're designed for buildings and solid objects. On the lower center is a LiDAR unit that we first started with. It was a quite inexpensive LiDAR unit, scanning, made by Acuity Corporation. And unfortunately, they don't support their hardware anymore, so which is why we've looked at alternatives. But some of the images are based on that equipment. On the left-hand side of this picture shows some of the routine oblique pictures we collect from our phenotyping field at Maricopa. We have these replicates, usually three replicates for Regional Breeders Testing Network cotton, and we drip irrigate it. An illustration on the right shows you a close-up of what I showed you earlier of the cotton profile. You can measure canopy height and width directly. In this case, what I did is I set an algorithm of 99% of point densities, and I could get a plant density measurement as illustrated in the lower left of that figure, and I can get a canopy width profile, so you can figure out the distribution of the canopy width height. That's a relatively easy thing to do. When you mount the LiDAR on a tractor, there's a lot of yaw, pitch, and roll, and you're merging GPS RTK data with it, and you're traveling at, say, 3 miles an hour. It creates a definite problem on how to register your points that you don't necessarily have with image analysis. So consequently, we looked at two platforms, one that I mentioned with this Arduino control device, which is on the left-hand side, and then the tractor, Lee Agra high clearance tractor. And what we get is on the lower part of the diagram there showing you the point cloud data, which gives you a visualization of the canopy. Well, the amount of data that come out of the LiDAR is huge. I typically, for a day run, for a 1 hectare field, we're looking around 1 terabyte. I mean, it's not something you're going to be able to remotely digest onto a spreadsheet. So you have to come up with convenient ways of selecting aspects of the data that were useful for you and rejecting outliers. There's a nice piece of software, open source, called Cloud Compare, that's designed for visualizing point cloud data that we've used, and that's shown here. And this is a profile of a row of cotton. And what we want to do in this case is the crop is defoliated, but if you tried to count the bulls in this particular image, you would have a tremendous problem identifying a bulb versus a stem versus maybe some leaves that haven't dropped. So what we have to do is go through an algorithm to select the bulls, and select the outliers and remove them. And that's this process that we go to on the right-hand side that's filtered. And when you do that, you know, this is a single plant we've isolated, and it just in this animation, it just shows you that it really does have some three-dimensionality to it. And you can see these clusters, but it's not perfectly unambiguous. It also reveals the scanning line anomalies. But this is what we have to work with for point cloud data. We have to develop a data pipeline processing routine so that we merge the raw GPS data with the LiDAR scan data. As illustrated in the top row, we have to convert it to standard formats as understood by the point cloud libraries, which are written in C++, and we have to do segmentation and noise removal, some basic steps individually, not complicated, but quite tricky when you're dealing with large data sets and you can't always look at what you have. So this is just some steps to illustrate a few of those details here. We might find cotton balls, so the plants have been defoliated, a relatively easy task because you don't have many leaves to screen out. You have to figure out what the radius of investigation is, so what defines a cluster, and how do you sort those clusters in three dimensions when you have 1 terabyte of data. This is the procedure that a student that worked for me last summer developed. These are just the 7 steps here. Take a point cloud, use a radius outlier removal tool, which is already developed in C++. Use a Euclidean cluster extraction algorithm, which I'll illustrate in the next slide, and push each cluster into an array. So you're managing everything by code. This is nothing visualization, so now we've left this visualizer program and you're doing all those things programmatically. We take a point cloud, in this case, this is just the loop that he's described and how he had to set the parameters for the cluster definitions. So when he does that, on the left-hand side is the raw data after we've done the first set of filtering, and then he does a second set of filtering, and he's identified the clusters here that look like cotton bowls. But now you have an enormous data set. All these points have been filtered, but they don't have any sort of intelligence about what their neighbor is. So you have to sort them in 3 dimensions. And what we do for that is this KD tree, which is essentially a binary tree sort. And we have some steps where we set the parameters on the search radius, and we determine whether or not they are within the size of typical cotton bowl or not. And the result of setting those parameters, which are all empirical, is this, where we have designed by prisms, we identify the cotton bowls. And if we're happy with that, those parameter settings, then we count those as bowls. So here are some problems with the algorithm. These are very simple algorithms to write and code and computer, but they're difficult to implement in practice. I mean, you can have cluster tolerances that are too tight and you have a bowl count that's too high, or you can have the converse and you have too few, or you can have the threshold setting for what constitutes a cluster to be inadequate and you would have identification bias. Ideally, what we'd see is the lower left. This is manually selected cotton bowls into a human. I find that very clear and unambiguous. But to do that in computer code is much more challenging. The results here are pending, so I'm highly reluctant to post them on a table here, but we are doing the validation with hand counts of bowls. This just shows you the variability in 12 meters of plots. We've been able to count them up to 800 bowls per 12-meter run. And I wanted to point out, since it's already mentioned in the previous session, that there's a lot of work on doing image analysis. And image analysis has tremendous advantages in the image continuity, and that's illustrated here in the middle where it shows the machine learning algorithm that segments the cotton bowl. But if you look in detail, you can also see that the images are confused by soil background. So they aren't without problems. By contrast, a LiDAR scanning has difficulty getting continuity, but it gives you three dimensionality that the image analysis probably can't get you. And that might be very useful if you're concerned about where the bowls are within the plant. So I'd like to leave it at these points here. I think LiDAR is potentially one of the most effective tools for mapping in 3-dimensional plants. The obstacles have been cost of equipment, implementing the equipment on your tractor, developing the code that's robust, and then finding the people that hang around long enough to write the code for you and help you debug problems. Equipment costs are declining, and they will change next year. I'm sure they'll be much more affordable. And software is, I'd say, above all, the most critical component. Thanks very much. questions. Yeah.
Sure. A couple of questions. What do you, again, with the few, do you scan the top on the side?
It's actually at a 45 degree because ideally I would have one LIDAR unit over every row, but I can't afford to have that many, so we decide to put it over the midline of the furrow.
You can scan three rows at a time?
Actually, if you're high enough, you can scan many more, but the resolution drops off rapidly with distance. The divergence of the LIDAR beam is surprisingly large.
What's the size of your laser?
What's the size of, sorry?
A point.
At 1 meter, it's about, it's about half a centimeter, I'd say. And you can look up those specs with the LIDAR manufacturers.
Thank you.